Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
1 Kings, tonight's study is, how much worse can it get? We have studied in 1 Kings and seen the good and the bad. Sadly, a lot of it was bad. David, Solomon, Israel splits. This is God's people. Yes, God's people can be pretty pathetic. Sad to say, but do we not see the need for a Savior and the need for a merciful God as we walk this earth? We must find comfort knowing God is in control. And prayer changes things. You know, we see the bad in the Old Testament, we see some good. And that good is God is there. Well, in our last study, they all died. David died, the man of God died, Solomon died, the old prophet died, was buried next to the man of God, Abijah, Jeroboam's son died, Jeroboam died, Rehoboam died. They all died. And all of their earthly endeavors fell into the hand of others. And the age-old question, how much did he leave? He left it all. Because we take nothing except what we've done for Christ into eternity. We must learn to live beyond this world. How much worse can it get? Our text for tonight is 1 Kings 15. Let's start at verse 1. Now in the 18th year, king of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which himself had dedicated, into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. Did you have trouble tracking the names? You should prepare this message if you think that's a challenge. I really did have to diligently pay attention. Well, let us briefly outline actually the whole chapter of chapter 15. In verses 15, 1 to 8, we have the reign of Abijam over Judah. In 9 through 24, we have the reign of Asa over Judah. In 25 to 34, the reign of Nadab over Israel and the destruction of the house of Jeroboam. So when you stand back and look at that simplistically, it does make more sense. 1 through 8, the reign of Abijam over Judah. 9 through 24, the reign of Asa over Judah. And then in 25 to 34, the reign of Nadab over Israel, the northern kingdom. So the first two kings were over the southern kingdom from the line of David. The third one is the house of Jeroboam over the northern kingdom. What we're going to do, though, for tonight is do verses 1 through 15. Because there's a parenthetic pause I want to take and reflect on something that you have to see an overview to appreciate. It's not really, if you will, part of this text, but it is, as you will see. From this simple outline, we see that the problems and strife among God's people continue. Folks, isn't it today? There's fighting between Judah and Israel, and there's fighting, and there's strife, and there's power struggles, and there's greed, and there's lying, and there's corruption. This is the true nature of man, hence sin abounds. Today we have laws on the book. Do people abide by the law? Folks, have you ever walked into a law library and truly seen how many books there are? Do you know that the children of Israel had the Mosaic Law and they're still a mess? It's the nature of man. God doesn't need any amendments to his laws. If they could have done it, which they can't, it would have been perfect. But it doesn't even seem like many times we're even trying. We see in this simple passage the overlapping stories of the northern and southern kingdoms. Let us consider verse 1. And now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. So here we have Abijam ruling over Judah. To make it a little more complicated, he's also called Abijah in parallel passages. He is the son of Rehoboam and Maacah. He sinned as his father Rehoboam did. He did not seek God as his great-grandfather David did. I find it amazing that David was an adulterer and a murderer, and God still looks at him and says he's a man after my own heart. Because God washes us in the blood of the Lamb. And he says, I choose to remember your sins no more. Here is Abijam, and he is wicked. He didn't seek God, but he certainly knew what to do. He chose not to. And he did not live a life pleasing to God. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem. God is keeping his promise to David. Your line will last into eternity. For David's sake, the nation of Judah will always have a leader in the bloodline of David. This is why you read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, which you don't have there, but very simply put, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, a descendant of David. Let us consider the words, going back in time now, when David was obviously still alive, and he was told by the prophet that he's going to have an eternal kingdom. Take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. God speaking to David and said these words, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee." Ever in front of him, his kingdom is established, even into eternity. Of course, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, is the glorious culmination of that. "And thy throne shall be established forever." You do see the incredible effect we can have on the future if we serve God. Surely we're not going to be promised a kingdom of such, but we can be promised eternal blessings and blessings to others. So it is. David was a sinner, Solomon a sinner, Rehoboam was ungodly and wicked, and now his son, Abijah, That ungodliness led to war from Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and it continued on. You know, it's easy to read that there was war between the two. Step back and think about the common people that were called up to arms. I don't want to fight. What are we fighting about now? Common people suffered greatly. Why were they fighting? The seeds of war were of old. David's adultery, Solomon's excessive lifestyle, Solomon's many building projects, Solomon's neglect of the condition of the common man, Rehoboam's sins, Abijam's sins, Jeroboam's sins. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. A brief reign he had, 3 years, and he died. Even kings die. More text is given about this man and the other kings if you were to read 1st and 2nd Chronicles. The king died and he left it all behind. All of his fighting, he realized, was for nothing. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. He took away the Sodomites out of the land and moved the idols, removed the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maacah, his mother, he actually put her out from being the queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated and the things which himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. Asa's a breath of fresh air. Now, if you remember, Egypt came in and took things from Judah. He's putting some of them back. You see, when you do right, how can he stand against Egypt? We don't know. But isn't that true with the Lord? How did you do that? I don't know. God did it. And so it is, Asa is a breath of fresh air because he did right in the eyes of the Lord. We see generations of sin, and we see these occasional glimpses of righteousness. Now, I want you to start to consider some things here that'll get us into our parenthetic thoughts. 1 Kings, I want you to think about this, goodness. Jeroboam's son, Abijah, 1 Kings 14:13. And all Israel shall mourn for him. That's the boy, Jeroboam's son, that was dying. And bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave. Because in him there is found some good thing towards the Lord God of Israel. We don't know what it is. We don't know how old this kid is. But we know this. In the midst of great sin, he was able to do right. It's much easier to do right when they're surrounded by godly people. Wait till you're the only one. And it's still important that we stand for truth. And so it is, we have this boy who did something good. And take a look at chapter 15, verse 11. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. There are lights around. May we be listed among those. Asa did right before God. He took away the Sodomites. In other words, as the king, the government legislated morality, but it was legislated in the law of Moses. He took a stand. It's easy to say, I will take a stand. Wait until you make an unpopular decision. He was a great man for fighting against sin because sin brings down a nation. Now, I want to consider some parenthetic thoughts here. In other words, a parenthesis, parenthetic. And I want you to see something that's developed but you see it in the big picture. I want to consider a truth. It's in Exodus chapter 20, and it's stated in Numbers chapter 14. Let us read 14:18 of the book of Numbers. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Now we're seeing king to king, particularly David's line, father to son, and so on. But we see the sins in the families also. Jeroboam, he was followed by sin. But I want to develop and think about this truth of the third and the fourth generations. This does not mean that if I go rob a bank, my son or my grandson are going to jail. It means if I do something and I am incarcerated and I'm not there to be the father I should be, my children will feel it to the third and the fourth generation. If I don't do things right in my home, my children will pick it up and they will pass it on to the third and the fourth generation. It is a very sober warning. We see that David lived on into eternity. Our deeds will live on and have an effect, if you will, into eternity. And we must really consider in our daily living that the iniquity of the fathers is upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. There's a good chance the fourth generation won't even know me, let alone feel the effects of my life. Unfortunately, especially if I do wrong. I want you to think about this. If we now stand back and take a slice of the history, David would be the first generation. And he sinned with Bathsheba, but if you also study the story, he'd had many multiple wives and concubines. And he was guilty of murder of Bathsheba's husband. That will be kept through the third and the fourth generation. How about his son, the second generation? That's Solomon. Solomon took 1,000 women. Do you think he learned anything from Dad? Something wrong he learned. Those women turned him away and he was worshiping idols. Now, it's interesting that David had multiple sons. Two are noteworthy in our study. Solomon, who had all the world had to offer. And then he had another son, Absalom. Absalom led a rebellion against him. And in that rebellion, when he drove David out of Jerusalem, he crossed the River Jordan. And while David was out, I want you to see how wicked this man Absalom was. While David is out, he occupied the palace, 2 Samuel 16:22. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Wickedness. Great wickedness. The third generation, Rehoboam. Rehoboam and his wife is Maacah. Maacah is the daughter of Absalom. So we've got this whole family mess. Rehoboam, consider 2 Chronicles 11:21. And Rehoboam loved Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, above all his wives and his concubines, for he took 18 wives and 60 concubines. 78 women. And he begat 28 sons, 60 daughters. I'm sure that was a happy home. Honestly, what are they thinking? Rehoboam sinned greatly in taking these women. Consider also, there were sodomites in the land. He tolerated it. It's in chapter 14, verse 24 of 1 Kings, and there were also sodomites. He did nothing about it. Asa will. How about the fourth generation? Rehoboam's son Abijam. He tolerated homosexuality. Take a look at what the law said. Leviticus 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's an abomination. Don't do it. People don't care what God's word says. We're going to do this. The answer is, hey, wait, everybody read the law and let's obey it. Nope. Don't want to hear that. The message that we proclaim of spirituality and righteousness and obedience to God is the answer to this world's problems. But historically, up through the present, people don't want to hear that. How much worse can it get? Sexual sin was so commonplace that they have lost regards for God's plan for one man and one woman. Gee, sounds like today, doesn't it? It is so commonplace for people to live together, they don't even think of it as a sin or anything wrong. It is so common. You talk to people and unashamedly, oh yes, my boyfriend here, and we, you know. It's so common. This is the danger, is that we grow up with this, and yet it is an abomination. God ordained one man, one woman. Satan tried to break up the family from the beginning. How about Rehoboam marrying his cousin? Solomon and Absalom were half-brothers. Leviticus 18, verse 6, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin unto him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shall thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. He married a cousin, a kin near to him. He said, don't do it. Was there a time earlier in the Bible? Yes. God did that, started to populate the earth, and then what did he do? He spread out on the plain of Shinar, where they built the Tower of Babel. God said, go split. Adam and Eve, you got to remember, were perfect. But once they started to decay throughout the years because of sin, God had to say, okay, no more of this close intermarriage in families. Divide it up. So therefore, Rehoboam married Maacah, his cousin. Solomon and Absalom were half-brothers. Therefore, Abijam was the product of incest. And get this, he was the older brother to Asa. All right, let's read it. Take a look at 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 1. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam. Put your finger there to help you figure this out. Reigned Abijam. We're talking about Abijam. Keep your finger there. And in verse 2, who was his mom? His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. Go down to 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 9. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa. Now who is the mother of Asa? Verse 10, his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom, the same woman that bore Abijah. So you've got a younger brother and an older brother. The older brother ruled. He died after 3 years. Asa ascended to the throne. Where in the name of common sense did Asa ever learn to be righteous? We don't know. But praise God, he can penetrate the most impossible situations when sin is so commonplace. And God can reach this boy in Jeroboam's home. And God can reach an Asa who is strong enough to stand up and say, this is wrong. And so it is, we have this terrible sin extending now to Abijah. And Asa comes on. He's the fifth king. And God gives him grace. He's the fifth king here. The 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And his heart was perfect with the Lord. Verse 15, verse 3, David was perfect, but he sinned. I want to get this. And he walked in the sins of his father, which had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of his father. I want you to get that. David, his heart was considered by God to be perfect. But yet he had sin. God even references it here. Folks, this is the mercy and the grace of God. That he can use such sinners. That he can forgive such sin. That he can still take and bless us. We don't deserve anything. We have sinned greatly. And so it is, time has passed, and God says, okay, enough. I want to now give you the real bad news about this whole thing. For example, I'll take it personally. I have a sin, and I pass it on, and it will extend to my great-grandson. Now compound that. Because my son is a human being, he's going to sin, and he's going to carry my sin, plus he'll have his own sins, and he'll pass those on. And then his son will take my sins and his sins and put it upon, you see the avalanche. And yet God is still merciful. This is what we must see. Get on your knees before God and say, and God can say, your heart is right before me. I can do that. I can use that. I can make something of that. No one will ever be ultimately perfect per se. It's complete. Quite often is what it's referring to in the Bible. You're complete. I get it. And he looks in like he did in that little boy and he saw something of righteousness. And so it is, this man, after all this sexual sin, commonplace as can be, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made, and also Maacah, his mother. This is one man of strong character. Mom, you're not the queen anymore. And tear down that idol and that grove and burn this. And he did what is right. We don't even see him having any helpers. And he was able to turn around the country. Because who was on his side? God. This is what this nation needs, is some godly people to stand up that have the authority to do something. He made very unpopular decisions as far as the people were concerned, but he made right decisions before God, and that's what matters. Where did he start his reformation? The first thing he did, he took away the Sodomites out of the land. Consider what Paul wrote hundreds of years later. He wrote to the Romans, chapter 1, verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." That holds true today. God cannot bless that. We see the breakdown of the family because they were not faithful to God's plan. One man, one woman. They had multiple wives. They had idolatry. And so it is. This man did great things, but the high places were not removed. I think that's just added in there to make sure that God understands even the best of men still have shortcomings and failures, things that they have not done. No man in this flesh will ever achieve the true righteousness of God. Because we're human. And here is this man that was so bold and so determined to clean house and establish righteousness. But how do you miss the high places? But God says, he's my man. And I'm going to back him. and Israel was blessed to have him as the king. Can it happen in the church? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed, that he might be taken away from among you. Who's going to stand up in the church and finally say, that's wrong? Yes, it can happen even today. Church, beware. So it is. The sins of the father are visited upon the third, the fourth generation. Psalm chapter 103, verse 17 gives us great hope. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. So while it is true that the deeds of our flesh in our lives will affect future generations, praise God, the things that we do for righteousness will also extend to our children's children. It is not all bleak. It's actually quite amazing how, in the midst of such disgust and filth, how much worse could it get? And God has found people and what he can do through one man.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.